In verses 1 to 3, David's advisors are warning him. They've been telling him to flee like a bird to the mountain, because they say the wicked bend their bow. They fitted their arrows, and they're going to hide in the shadows and shoot at the upright in heart. It's clear that David knows there's a threat too, because his opening words are, "In the Lord I take refuge." He wouldn't be seeking refuge if he felt safe. He's making a firm statement of faith about where he finds his refuge. It's important to remember here, these are not just naysayers out to trip up David and make him run away. These are his friends and counsellors. They know how righteous David is, but they're genuinely afraid for him. They're seeking to do the best for him. David is the target for the assassins hiding in the dark. He's the one leading an upright life, and they're out to get him. They don't like the way he leads his life, and they're against him because of that. There are times in our lives, aren't there, when living God's way can be problematic. We can be ridiculed. We can be sidelined because of our beliefs. We risk legal action against us. We feel increasingly threatened by the society we live in. There are countries in the world, of course, where it's much worse than that, where people's lives are at risk. But nevertheless, in this country, it's becoming more risky to be a Christian. There are people who want to get at us. We've seen a few court cases of late where the Christian way of life has been seriously challenged. Well, David's friends go on to say, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, what does that mean? Well, there's a feeling to them that they believe that the very foundations of their world are being destroyed. They have a feeling their way of life is being threatened, that their sense of right and wrong, their allegiance to God, might be eroded away. Isn't that a bit like how it is for us? There's an undermining of respect for Christian values, of respect for our Christian religion. It's easy for us to hear ourselves say, what can we do? We feel powerless. The temptation is to run away and hide. David is hearing real voices, but for us, it's an internal conflict. We feel a little unsafe in the world we live, not because our lives are threatened, but because we're intimidated by the ways of the majority of the world. We sometimes feel it's not safe to say we're Christians. It's not safe to stand out from the crowd. It's not safe to lead a righteous life. The temptation can be to hide our faith away because we're threatened. We're tempted to take flight, like David's advisors tell him, to somewhere safe. We can do that in various ways. We can gently withdraw, both as individuals and as a church, where we fail to engage with the world around us. It's easy, isn't it, to talk superficially with friends and work colleagues about our faith without actually trying to go deeper. Or maybe as a church, drawing close together, but ignoring the people around us. We can give up on trying to lead a righteous life, to flee from God and just go with the flow, as some churches do, conforming to the ways of society. Individually, we can hide ourselves away in earthly things. Books, social media, sport, holidays maybe. None of these things are bad in their own right, but sometimes it's easier, as John mentioned in his sermon this morning, to immerse ourselves in them rather than working on being godly in a world where there seems to be a danger in being a Christian. I think it's important to remind ourselves here that while we sometimes think our foundations have been undermined, that's never really the case. As humans, we can get drawn into believing that we're in control of the world. But of course, it's God who's in control. I don't know if you can still buy them, but I can remember as a small boy having one of those plastic steering wheels that you attach to the seat in front of you, and you were happy driving the car. But of course, it was mother or father who was in control of the car. It's like that with God. We might feel we're in control, or even out of control, but God is the one who has the real steering wheel. He's in control. So how does David respond to the people who are advising him to flee? Well, firstly, the real danger is in not being righteous. He tells them it's unsafe not to be righteous. He shows them the reality. Firstly, in verse 4, we see the Lord is in his holy temple. So God is constantly in his heavenly temple, but also in us as believers, because as believers, we're temples of the Holy Spirit. And in us as people of the church, because together we're the house of God. Then in the same verse, he goes on to tell us that God sees everyone on earth. Nothing escapes his attention. So he sees the wicked people, the violent people, those who don't believe and do as they please because they have no fear of God. He also sees our lives too. As believers, he observes us with eyes of compassion and of love. His eyes are always on you. We're told that his eyes test us. He tests out everyone he sees, making a distinction between those who love him, who seek to live righteous lives, and those who ignore him, who hate him and reject him, who maybe even persecute those who try to live for him. So he examines everyone, and we can see the results of that and why it's unsafe to be wicked. It says in verse 5 that God hates the wicked. He doesn't just hate some things they do, he hates them. His soul hates them, it says. But isn't God a God of love? Yes, but he's a God of justice. For him not to hate the wicked would be what our foundations crumbling under us would look like. Because in God's eyes, it's what they deserve. Not only does he hate them, but we read in verse 6 that his judgment will come upon them. He'll rain fire and sulfur on them, just like he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's just a picture for us now in this world, but it's a picture of God's righteous judgment that will come to all who reject him. We may see justice served in small ways in this life, but it will ultimately happen when Christ returns. And so it's deeply unsafe to be wicked. In the end, justice will be done. So we've seen how it's unsafe not to be righteous, and then how it's deeply unsafe to be wicked. And now we'll see how it's more than safe to be righteous. We see in verse 7 that the Lord loves justice. And because of that, he has a great plan for the world. He loves putting things right again. And the great way he does that is to send his only son, Jesus. Not as a judge to round up the wicked people and put everything right, but to live a life of righteousness and to die for us on the cross. Without Christ, we're all against God. Without Christ, we'd all be wicked. We would be persecuting the church or ignoring Jesus. But he sends his son to die in place of all that unrighteousness. God's hatred of the wicked is transferred to the head of his son. Through the cross, he takes the fire and sulfur of our sin, and because of that, we're safe. We're safe in the way that matters most. What matters most is not our health, our jobs, our family, least of all our possessions. What matters most is that we should be safe from the wrath of God, and because of Jesus, we are. We'll be safe forever. And when we die, we can be sure we'll be with God in a new creation. We can be sure that our sin doesn't count against us. And this is the great way that Jesus has made us safe. And more than that, he promises he will provide for all our needs, that nothing will happen to us without his permission and without his purpose, that he will preserve us in life and health until our work for him is done. It's not just safety in that sense, there's more. The Lord is righteous. He loves justice, and the upright will see his face. So we look back at the voices that David heard, that we hear, that say, look at all the people who are out to get Christians, that say, look at the things that go wrong. And at the same time, we look forward at the things that threaten us, that threaten our safety. But what happens to us is that in the gospel, we find our safety in Christ, and we see his face. First now, imperfectly, in faith. We need daily to reach out in faith to see the love of God revealed in the face of Jesus. And that's something we have to work towards. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen automatically. What happens automatically is we see the things that threaten us. So we need to develop patterns in our lives to help us to turn away from the things that threaten us. So with the eye of faith, we seek the love of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that enables us to look forward to that great day when we won't see just by faith anymore, but by sight. And we'll be safe with him forever. What's interesting in this passage is that we don't see what decision David makes. We don't know if he moved out of danger or not. There is, of course, sometimes a time for removing ourselves from harm's way, to preserve our lives, to go on serving God, and sometimes a time to stand firm. What David does is to take all those decisions and put them in the light of the realities of the gospel that we need to reach out to by faith and make our own. And as we do that, we can be confident to go on living righteously, to go on speaking the truth, to say to people that Jesus is real and can make a difference in their lives, to go on standing for God's moral standards and applying them in our own lives, confident that because whatever this world throws at us, it cannot deprive us of Christ and all that Christ wants to give us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as we go through our daily lives and are challenged in various ways, please help us to remember how it's unsafe not to be righteous. It's deeply unsafe to be wicked, but it's more than safe to be righteous, because in the end, we will see your wonderful face in heaven. Amen.
Amen.